First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envyings, and all evil speakings. Now, as we saw in the baptismal process today, there's that picture of dying to sin, dying to being Lord of our own lives. And with that, it's going to show up in how we act. And so in the first verse here, it talks about these five things: laying aside, putting to death all malice. What is malice? Malice is wicked ill will. That's that intent in someone's heart to get somebody and harm them. That's got to die. As a follower of Jesus, that's got to die. And then all guile. What is guile? Well, guile is deceit, planned dishonesty. So if you go, you know, sometimes we can get caught in the moment and we can tell a half-truth or maybe even three-quarter not true. But when you intentionally go out to deceive people, that's got to die if you're a follower of Jesus. And then hypocrisies. Hypocrisies. The way we live is different from the way we speak. Speaking one way, living another. That's what we call a hypocrite. Children, you can be dismissed to children's church. Sorry. Not that you won't learn something here, but I know you'll learn more there. So, at your level. For me, forgive me for forgetting that. There they go. I know they'll have a good time. I was with them last Sunday. We had a good time. So this concept of hypocrisies, one of the greatest charges that come against people who claim to be followers of Jesus is they're such hypocrites. They talk one way and they live another. Why does that happen in our lives? Well, sometimes fear of man. We want to blend in with the crowd we're with at the moment. Temptation can overcome us. But hypocrisy has to die if we're going to be a follower of Jesus. That means I'm going to be courageously following him no matter if I'm with all Christians or if I'm with those who aren't Christians. I'm going to live according to what Jesus teaches no matter the context I'm in. Envies. Envies. What's envy? It's that resentful discontent. I want something or some level of status that someone else has. Doesn't belong to me, but I want it because I'm not content with what I've been blessed with. That can lead to a lot of the other things of ill will and even dishonesty. And so Peter, when he wrote this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he so clearly said, that's part of your old life. That's got to die. Envying others. And the last one there is evil speakings. Evil speakings. What's included in evil speakings? Well, gossip. Gossip. Someone who's a talebearer. Speaking things they shouldn't be speaking about others. Sometimes it's for power. Sometimes it's for harm. Another part of evil speakings is slander. This idea of telling the truth with the intention to hurt the person's reputation. Slander. All evil speakings need to die if you're going to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Death, in some cases in the real world, comes quick. And sometimes death is a very slow process. And so it is spiritually. This is a process in which we begin to recognize, you know, I don't think that pleases Jesus. That's got to go out of my life. I got to put that to death. That's got to just be gone. And then in verse 2, replace that, Peter says, with as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's word, that you might grow thereby. Now, what does it mean to grow? Desire God's word so that you'll grow. Well, in the Bible, we have a number of encouragements. It says there that in Psalm 119, that as I hide God's word in my heart, it keeps me from sinning against God. a regular reminder of God's instructions prompts us to do the right thing. And so in our life, eagerly desire God's word. Feed daily on what God has said in his word, his instructions for you. I mean, if you're truly going to be a follower, don't you want to read his words? Don't you want to know what he's thinking and instructing and telling you? That's what a true follower does. And a true follower will daily seek God's word to feed their soul. And then verse 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. God is not a big boss. He's a loving father. And he longs to help us. He longs to grant us grace and strength to do the right thing. He just waits on us. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He waits for us to initiate. He waits for us to respond to his love. Eagerly desire God's word, and then you'll see that God is gracious. Then in verse 4 through 6, there's an interesting analogy that Peter draws to here. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Speaking about Jesus, being that chosen one to be the sacrifice for all of sin, all of time, past, current, and future. He's the precious one. He's that living stone, if we can draw the analogy. Then quickly it follows there with, wherefore also, verse 5, you also as living stone, lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Jesus is that living stone, that cornerstone of a building. If you could pull up that little picture there of a wall. You see that wall? Now, right at the base, there's what we call the cornerstone. I know the corner suggests a corner, but it really is the foundation start point. It sets the level. It sets the proper true angle of the building, the squareness of the building. And Jesus is that cornerstone. Then if you see all those bricks in between that build up the wall, that's us as followers of Jesus, built upon his foundation. And then at the top, the Bible also speaks about Jesus being the capstone, the headstone, the one in architectural engineering that holds the wall together as a roof does on a building. It holds the walls together. And he is that top capstone. That is the picture of the body of people who call themselves Christians and are followers of Jesus. We're built upon the foundation of Jesus, his life, his love, his teachings. And then as we follow him, he also is the one we're looking forward to being with forever in eternity. He holds it together by his instruction. So it's all about living stone, Jesus, and us stones, lively stones, filled with the life of Jesus in us to be that testimony to others of who Jesus is. Do we always end up showing it the way God would want us to? Maybe not. But the beauty is that as followers of Jesus, when we don't and we say, you know what, I think I blew it, would you forgive me? That's Jesus coming through too. And that's our challenge, to live in honesty before God and man and deal with the things in our life that would be pleasing to him. And then down to verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, followers of Jesus, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, You know he loves you. You love him. You want to hear what he's teaching you and how to live. That becomes precious to you. Not just for the sake of saying, well, one day when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus forever. That's wonderful. But he gives you meaning for being here while we're still here, to follow him. And so that becomes a very precious part of who I am as a person. My relationship with Jesus as a Savior, but also as my living guide through life. And then the other side of it, a stone of stumbling. Verse 8, the same is made the head of the corner, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. You know, there's some people who say, I want nothing to do with God. I'll take care of life myself, thank you. Can you imagine the audacity of that? Did you create yourself? No. How did you get life? It's a gift from God. Our parents were part of the process, but even they were a gift. They got a gift of life from God, on through the generations, going right back to Adam and Eve, where God gave life to Adam and then to Eve. It's his gift. But if you say, stuff it, God. I'm going to do it myself. Jesus and his teachings become an offense to you because he's trying to invite you to a different way to live. And so in this passage that we've just read through quickly here, there's all kinds of scripture references you can follow up and read that are just affirmations from the Bible of what this means. The question now for those who have testified today to being followers of Jesus, and all of us here who are followers of Jesus, is how faithful am I to that cornerstone, that foundation upon which my faith is based? And then for those who have not even entered into some kind of a faith relationship with God, the question is, why not? Why not? Jesus loves you. He loves you. He has reached out his hand and invited and said, come follow me, just like he did with the disciples in the very early stages of his ministry. Come follow me. Come follow me. And today, if you haven't taken that step, I invite you to do it. It's not hard. It means acknowledging I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I have no power to deal with eternal questions in myself. God brought me into this time and space domain in order for me to make a decision about who am I following? Myself, some guru, some popular person, the love of money, whatever it may be. But as Jesus is saying, come follow me. Come follow me. And today, I would ask you the question, if you have faith, what is it based on? If you don't have faith, consider putting your faith in Jesus Christ. I made that decision when I was 10. And at 12, I was baptized. And since that time, there have been many, many chapters of my life where God put his finger on something in my life and said, I want to deal with you on this thing. And I needed to come to a place of humbly depending on the Lord to direct me and acknowledging where I was wrong, accepting that he is right, coming into line with his teachings. For me, following the Lord has been one of the most meaningful things of my journey on this earth. Nothing else compares. And he has been so faithful to bless me and to take care of me. And many of you, the same story. And I thank the Lord for your life, Joe, and how God turned it around. Nothing impossible with God. I don't care what your background, I don't care where you're coming from, I don't care how much you've done, could I put it this way, or if you've even murdered someone, God is willing to forgive. That doesn't change the consequences in this life, but he forgives you and cleanses you, no matter how bad it is. I long for each of you who are baptized today to enjoy a very personal walk with God. Read his word. When you come across things where you don't understand, come and ask one of us elders or pastors. We'll be happy to try and teach you and explain it to you. There's all kinds of resources available to help you understand God's love for you and his directions for life. What is your faith based on? What is your faith based on? And we know for a fact that God's word has proven to be true over and over and over and over. It's the best-selling book on the face of the earth. And there's a reason for it, because there's answers to life's problems buried in the treasures of this book. And so I encourage you to follow it. If there's somebody here today or watching and you're saying, I don't know how to start this process of building a faith, I would invite you to come talk to myself or to Pastor Justin or to one of the elders here. Call the church, email us. We'll be happy to help you make that first step. God invites you to put your trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. And as you do, the wonder of having your sins forgiven and new direction and purpose in life will give you entirely new perspective on why you're here. And it'll be a blessing to walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much that out of your divine wisdom, you initiated this plan of redemption to reach out to us as people who are wandering around in our own ideas and our own thinking. And you said, come and follow me. As your creator, I will teach you how I wanted life to be. Follow my prescriptions. And so, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for those who have helped us understand it and teach it to us. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in our hearts that convicts us and invites us and prompts us to doing the right thing. And today, it's my prayer, oh God, that you would speak to the hearts of each person listening to my voice. Draw them to yourself. Give them grace, oh God, to yield their heart to you. And I thank you so much for the privilege of being your child, to being in your kingdom, your family, to being taught by your Spirit through your word. What a blessing. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for all that you'll do in each of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.